Chapter 18. Lexi was growing more concerned about her yellow VW bug as it groaned and sputtered to a stop outside Stan's office at the storage facility. What if it died completely and left them stranded? This might not be a good place, especially if Stan was mixed up in the murder. The place currently looked deserted, except for Stan, who stood in the front doorway to his office, hands on hips, looking not at all pleased to see them. His scowl only darkened as Lexi, Nans, and Ida stepped from the vehicle and approached him. The tightness in Lexi's shoulders increased. As much as she hated to admit it at the moment, given Stan's menacing presence today, it was entirely possible Jack had been right about the guy being dangerous and the ladies needing to stay away from him. He was wearing a stained wife beater, and his hairy, tattooed arms were crossed firmly over his protruding beer belly, making him look as if he'd walked right off the set of The Sopranos. Considering they were all but standing on his doorstep, however, it was too late to turn back.
"What are you doing here?"
Stan demanded, his tone far gruffer than usual, as if he'd just rolled out of bed or smoked an entire carton of cigarettes.
"Haven't you people caused enough trouble around here?"
"We haven't even started yet," Nan said, continuing toward Stan undeterred.
Lexi had to hand it to her petite grandmother. Not only was she brave, staring down a guy who stood 6 inches taller than her and outweighed her by more than half, but she didn't mince words either. Nans continued walking until she climbed up 2 steps of the front stoop to stand nose to chest with the guy, drawing herself up to her full 5'1" height.
"Tell us what you know about those coins, or we'll make you wish you never set foot in Brook Ridge Falls."
Stan raised a brow.
"Yeah? You and what army?"
Nans pointed to Lexi.
"Her husband is the lead homicide detective working on the Sherman Wilson murder investigation, Stan. You think he hasn't dug up all kinds of dirt on you already? In fact, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he's already planning to form a SWAT team to raid this place as we speak. All he needs is one phone call from my granddaughter to do it. Do you really want to take that chance, Stan?"
Of course, Lexi had said no such thing to Nans or the ladies. This was all her grandmother's way of getting Stan to talk. She didn't say a word, just stared down the guy along with Ida by her side. At the mention of the SWAT team, Stan visibly blanched.
I don't want no more trouble around here. Just tell me what you want, and we can all settle this peacefully."
Snorting, Nans poked him in the chest with her index finger.
"The coins, Stan. Where are they?"
"Coins? I don't know nothing about any coins, I swear."
He took a step back, hands in the air.
"Honest. All I do know is you meddling old ladies better skedaddle if you know what's good for you. Whatever you're up to, you don't know who you're dealing with. If you keep playing this game, you're going to get hurt."
His stern expression softened a bit as he gazed down at Nans.
"And I don't want you to get hurt. You remind me of my grandma."
"I'll show you grandma, mister."
Ida shoved in beside Nans, nose scrunched as she stared down Stan.
"What game are you talking about? The only game we're playing is whether we call the cops on you now or later, buddy."
"The game of you gals coming here, asking about what cars were on the premises the morning that body was found, when you know darn well what cars were here."
He frowned down at Ida.
"And don't you dare threaten me, Granny."
He sneered at her.
"In fact, now that I think about it, maybe you all were the ones involved with this coin business that has the police swarming all over. Maybe you all are trying to frame me."
His gaze narrowed on Nans and Ida.
"How's that for a threat?"
"That's absolute nonsense."
Nans took a step back, giving Stan an incredulous look.
We weren't anywhere near this storage facility the night of the murder, and we certainly didn't kill anyone. The police have already cleared us, which is way more than I can say for you.
Really?
Stan snorted.
Then why did I see your car here that morning? And why are you back here now, getting all nosy into the police's case, huh?
You mean that VW bug? Ida said, pointing to Lexi's car. Now we have proof you're lying. That car wasn't anywhere near here the morning we found the body. It was across town in the garage being repaired.
No,
Stan said, his tone exasperated.
Not that hunk of junk.
Hey, Lexi said, giving him a dirty look.
I'm talking about the silver station wagon that you all showed up in the other day when Ruth started giving me the third degree. That car was here the morning the body was found.
He raised his chin defiantly, crossing his arms once more.
Then again, you already knew that, didn't you? Since you ladies came here in it. Only thing I can't figure out is how you four little old ladies managed to take down a big guy like Wilson. Must have tag-teamed him or something.
Ida opened her mouth to let the guy have it again, but Lexi cut her off. Silver station wagon, she said, confused. I don't own a silver station wagon. No, Nan snapped her fingers. You don't, but Myra does. She gave Stan a steely-eyed stare. Much as it pains me to admit, he's right. That car was here the morning we found the body, but not until later. That's the vehicle Myra used to pick us up in that day, remember?
That wasn't the only time, though,
Stan said, shifting his weight and causing his tank top to ride higher, showing off a pale, hairy expanse of his flabby gut. Lexi scrunched her nose and looked away fast.
That station wagon was here earlier, too.
It was, the lady said in unison.
Yep.
Stan crossed his arms and gave them a skeptical look.
Don't act like you didn't know. Always trying to pull a fast one on everybody, acting like a bunch of nice old ladies when in reality you're a pit of vipers. That's what you are.
Ida turned and hissed at Stan, laughing when he flinched. Beware of the serpent, Stan, or you'll get bit. Nan's rolled her eyes, then glanced over at Lexi, frowning. Myra said they use that car for their Uber business. Joe drives it, too, just depending on which one of them is available when a call comes in. And Joe would know all about those coins, Ida added. That's his business, after all. But he told the man he was arguing with that he didn't know about the coins, Lexi said. Ida gave her an incredulous look. He lied, plain and simple, and with good reason. He's been scamming those jewelry customers. And if he really does know coins, he's probably involved in those forums Herman mentioned. He might have heard the rumors about the coins being in Brookridge Falls. Come on, girls, Nan said, grabbing Lexi by the elbow and dragging her back toward the bug before she could protest. Looks like we've got a new suspect on our radar, and I think I know just where we can find him. What about Stan? Ida said, glowering at the storage man over her shoulder. I could take that guy. Listen, no one's taking anyone, Lexi said, unlocking the car doors, then holding the seat for Ida so she could climb into the back seat. And the only place we're heading now is the police station. If Joe Stoddard is somehow involved, Jack needs to know. She got behind the wheel and started the engine, praying that she wouldn't run into the blonde in her husband's office again today.